Church, I hope that you'll join with them in just being thankful and praising the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Tom Walton to give our first testimony.
Pastor Jerry Coleman asked me to do this today, and he knows how much I love to stand in front of everybody and talk. He told me that I was going to be the example for everybody, that I was going to be 2 minutes and you guys were supposed to be under what I was supposed to be. So. I'll be about 2.5 minutes, so. No, I'm just teasing. Everybody's going to be thankful for the Lord, of course, and their salvation. That's just a given, I think, with anyone. The Lord's blessed all of us more than we deserve. And I was thinking after Pastor Jerry called me today and was talking about it, and I asked Ashley and my wife, what would you be thankful for? And the very thing that I thought about is the same thing that they had thought about. Of course, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the Lord, but we're thankful for health. I'm so thankful. I thought a lot about Jessica Ross this week, and I was thinking that could be my wife.
Right.
I don't know anything about Jessica's situation right now, but I thought that could very well be Stephanie Walton laying there in the hospital.
Right.
And I'm very thankful for health, and I'm very thankful for my family and for my grandkids. I'm very thankful for what the Lord's done in our lives and just to hold us together and to bless us like He has. He's been more than gracious to us over the years. And it's not been an easy road doing what we do for a living. It's been hard, and the Lord just had to show His mercy and His grace. And I thought a lot about God's grace and His mercy over the last couple of years and the things that we've had to go through with the farm and the disasters that we've had. And in times, things are coming, and there's no doubt that they're going to come. And I think things are just going to get tough for Christians. I think they're going to get tough for everybody. But I'm thankful that the Lord shows us grace and mercy in our lives. I'm very thankful for that. And I guess I've been impressed with the song. I guess I'm the song leader, so I felt like this is what I needed to do. I was singing in the shower this evening, and I thought if you've got a wife or you've got a husband, you know, you need to think about them and be thankful for them this week. I couldn't do like you men couldn't do, just like Pastor Jerry said a lot of times. He couldn't do what he could do without his wife. I couldn't do what I could do today without my wife either. I'm just going to sing you a song, and I want you to think about the loved ones that my dad used to stand back there in that corner and take up the offering. It's been a long time since I've seen him. He's very good to me. Just think about this song. If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, and I'd count all my blessing from out the storehouse of love. I can't look at my wife and see this. I'm sorry. I'm going to make it just hang on a second.
Learn
the church is a trade, bro. You don't look at people that can make you cry. If find somebody that makes you mad, look at them. If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, and I count all the blessings from out the storehouse of love, I simply ask for the favor of Him beyond mortal kin, and I'm sure He would grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some sweet day, when all my troubles and my heartaches have all passed away. There we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven.
We're going to just start. I'm going to introduce each man. Brother Cash, we're going to start when we just work down the row, and I'm just praying to God that Don Mowry doesn't sing. That's what I'm praying to.
God is good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't deserve the grace of God. I'm, I recognize what I am. I'm just a wretch, undeserving sinner that Jesus Christ saved, April 29th, 1978. Listen, beloved, I've had a really difficult year this year. A lot of you don't know the details, but my parents are in a really tough spot. And for you that have family here, thank God for that. My parents were not in my children's life, okay? It's not that they were bad. It's not that they were mean. It's just a fact, okay? So my children were not raised with immediate family, grandparents. So anyway, long story short, the age starts creeping up on us all. My parents were never planners. My dad was never foresighted in that. And so we didn't know about 5 years ago he had a will. Okay? Age is creeping up. Health is deteriorating. And my mom's been hospitalized 3 times in 9 months. My dad just was released from the hospital today, a congestive heart failure. But the thing that is good, how God worked this out, I had such a burden for them to get this right. We had division in my own family. I won't go into detail. I had a brother that just sowed discord. But the rest of the 3 siblings, we had banded together and tried to convince our parents. My mom has lost her short-term memory. She doesn't have presence of mind anymore. And my dad is still functioning mentally, but his body has given out. We tried and tried. And the Lord, through a wonderful set of circumstances, my brother and I are tag teaming. I'll have to go back down to Florida again. And I had tried to start the legal ball rolling with a lawyer to get them covered legally. And it all fell apart. My brother went down there. He's down there now. He picked the ball up. And praise the Lord. My father signed the documentation in the hospital today. And I got a text on the way home that my mom signed it. And so now, beloved, it may not mean a lot to you, but when you see your parents vulnerable and vulnerable to vultures, okay, the state can step in, the medical facilities can step in. Now what we have is a legal framework to take care of them. They're unable to take care of themselves any longer. They can no longer live alone. And so now the buck's going to stop with us, and we start making the decision for our folks. And I just want to read this, Revelation 7:12, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." You know, you recognize the disappointment we had this election year, and we all reflected. But one thing I see in this great nation of ours is we've lost our heritage. We've lost our soul, let's say, for what made this nation great. And we have a generation, and actually it didn't take very long, did it? It only took a couple of generations to take us off a fairly straight course and deviate us to just disaster. I never understood why we want to go to Europe. We fled Europe from that to have our freedoms, and our freedoms are we're giving them away. But anyway, one thing I notice and one thing I see is that, and a pastor says this a lot, and I phrase him, is that never stand in between God and His glory. Boy, man just loves to do that. But I love it when God receives the glory and He's magnified, even in the small things in our life and it occurs across our nation. And even Thanksgiving wants to be marginalized. Paul McCartney, be a vegetarian on Thanksgiving. I thought, here's a Brit who listen, we fought against the British, okay? We fought against them for our freedoms. And he's telling us, he has no conception, has no idea the rich heritage that our forefathers paid for this nation to give Thanksgiving and to designate it as a day of Thanksgiving. Listen, the Lord has been good to us, and mine's a little different probably than the rest, and all of these are different, but thank the Lord for your family, beloved. Thank the Lord for your extended family, okay? Amen.
Well, of course, I got to, first of all, thank the Lord. And like these men have already said, He's really been good. He's been good to me a lot better than I deserve. And thankful for my family, for my wife. I got a good wife. I really appreciate her. And I'm thankful for salvation. November 13th, 1994. And I just had I call it a spiritual birthday here just not too long ago. So I'm really thankful for that. What I'd like to just say here just for a minute is I have a special blessing here. Here in the last few weeks, Pastor asked us, it's been several weeks ago, but it was before the election, he told us about Brother Tom Williams and his challenge he had put out to different people. And Pastor, he extended that challenge on to us. And so I made a commitment to God, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but God helped me keep that. And I was just sure that God was going to answer my prayer. And he did answer it, but he didn't answer it the way that I expected, you know. And I was just so disheartened on the day of the election. And I thought, man, I just don't know, Lord. How can we do this, go through this another 4 years? And so I went to the Word of God and started looking for some verses. And God gave me some verses out of the Bible. And that's what I'm wanting to thank the Lord for. I mean, I'm thankful for my health, my family, and just my church, my pastor, just like everyone else. But I wanted to thank Him tonight for the Word of God and for the comfort that comes from the Word of God. And so I went and I started looking at some verses and trying to find, you know, some things to comfort me. And, you know, it's there. Right? It's in there. And the Word of God is just so amazing, Lord, that the way God uses it to help us. I looked at, I'll just share with you just a few verses. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I thought also looked at Proverbs 3:25. It said, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." And, you know, God, like Pastor said that Wednesday night after the election, you know, he said, God wasn't surprised. He knew, you know, he wasn't surprised. He's still there. He's still got the steering wheel. He's still in control. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And 2 Corinthians 12:9, and my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, and God, He's still going to take care of us. And He knows what's going on. And we've got, like I said, we've got His Word here for that comfort. And I really found a lot of comfort in the Word of God here in the past few weeks. And reading some of these verses. And, you know, one time I heard Dewey Williams on the radio talking about, we get this mindset sometimes that, boy, I've got to do this and that, and I've really got to take care of myself, because one of these days, God's going to die, and time's going to get real bad. God's not going to die. He's not going to die.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
This is going to be a strange service, isn't it? He's not going to preach, and I'm not going to sing. Now that is. Started out in 45 minutes, wasn't it?
That's what I told. That's what I advertised. But it's good you guys are saying.
Okay. I'm thankful to be saved tonight, most of all and first of all for my salvation. And thank the Lord that He saw fit to save someone like me. And I'm thankful for my church family. As I look out here at each one of you and know you all the first name, I think. Maybe some of the little children I don't, but most of you I do, and I'm really thankful for my church family. Really appreciate you, each and every one of you. It's just good to be able to think back. And, you know, I think maybe that one of these days, that whenever in the book of Revelation where He says He's going to wipe all tears away, I believe God says that's going to be, I think that will be a wiping your remembrance of what's happened on earth here, maybe, and a remembrance of hell.
because we're not going to remember that, I don't believe, when we get to heaven. Everything's going to be so good. And I just feel like that when I get to heaven, I just want to follow Jesus around and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glad we don't have a God that's changeable, aren't you? Like Thomas singing that song. That was good. Well, that's what I'm thankful for. There's a bunch of other things, but I'm not going to take up the time, so thank you very much. I'm not even going to sing for you.
That was good. Thank you.
I'm thankful for salvation too, and I'm so many things to be thankful for. It's hard to even mention them. I'm thankful for a mom that was persistent, and I had five brothers and sisters, and I was the last one, and I'm the last one alive. But I'm thankful that she made sure that I went to church on Sunday morning. She taught Sunday school as long as I could remember until she had cancer, died of cancer. And she, I mean, you didn't say we was going to miss. It wasn't if we were going to go or not. I mean, it was just we were going. And you didn't ask. You didn't argue. My dad didn't go to church, said he was saved, and talked to him before he died. And he said he was saved, and he got hurt in a church split, and never got over it. And so that was kind of too bad there. But he was a good dad, but he didn't do anything for us spiritually. But I'm thankful tonight for salvation. I'm thankful for my wife. I got the best wife you could have. And I mean that. And I'm thankful for my kids. And my grandkids. And the great-grandkids. And they just keep coming on. It don't seem like they're going to stop. We had a couple of boys that didn't make it. Todd died when he was 28. Never walked or talked. Most of you know that. And we used to bring him to church here every time we came. We took him every place we went. We never did leave him with anybody, hardly. Debbie kept him a time or two when he went away for a few days, but we never had a babysitter. But I keep, I'm thankful for them. Thankful we had Todd for 28 years and we had Joel for, 33 years. And Joel took his life, and you know that, and we still don't know why. I have no idea. And I know he was saved. And Pastor Jerry had both of the funerals, and I'm so thankful for that. Listen, I'm thankful for this church. Thankful. Especially for Jerry and Cheryl, they helped us. We're in the system that we get moved down here, and it's tough after you get to be old and I've worked all your life, which is on a farm, and never did. There was never a time when I didn't work. And there's one thing my dad taught us was to be on time and to work hard. And so I was thankful for that. And but he was a good dad. He taught us that. But mom was a spiritual one, and I'm saved, I'm sure, because of my mother. And of course, didn't take God by surprise. I was 10 years old when I got saved and got baptized, and I didn't always live like I should. But God got a hold of my heart, I never had a grandma that I knew. They died before I was old enough to know, I think, before I was born, probably. I had two grandpas, and one of them lived to be 95. But I never had a grandma. Listen, kids, if you got a grandma, you love her. You just love her to death. That's the best thing you can do. And I had two grandpas. One died when I was not very old. He used to go over to the farm, and he'd take me fishing and pick up hickory nuts. And the other grandpa lived just a mile from us. I mowed his yard, and he was saved. And so he's a good influence. But I keep a couple pictures in my Bible all the time. This is Todd. That was our bulletin that we had the last one before he had his funeral. And just to remind me how God good God is, and then one of Joel and Todd together. And it just makes remind me that he's a good God, isn't he? We've got so much to be thankful for. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for a pastor. Not just because he's a son-in-law, but he's the best pastor I've ever had. And we love him to death. And so we're so thankful for that, and thankful for Cheryl, Debbie, Jerry. Jerry will be here tomorrow from Atlanta. And so we'll have the kids pretty much all home. And not all the grandkids, but most of them. But there's so much to be thankful for. A neighbor sympathized. I read a little story a while back. It says a neighbor sympathized one day with a little wrinkled old lady because she only had two teeth. But the smiling old soul answered, "One's lower and the other's upper, and thank God they meet." And I thought that was kind of neat. But God's good. God has met our needs and taken good care of us, and we're so thankful to be here, and so thankful for you. You've all made us feel so much at home, and welcome us into the church, and we appreciate that so much. And that's all because of God. There isn't any reason to be here other than if we didn't have salvation. Jesus went on the cross and died in our place, and that's what church is all about, isn't it? And seeing people get saved. And to grow, and then to live for Him, and be obedient. So we thank you tonight for loving us here tonight. And thank God.
I'm thankful for the Lord saving me in 1941. September. I'm thankful for our pastor, thankful for his family, of his church. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us and guide us in the coming days. And I pray, Lord, for some things I can forget, some things I need to remember. Turn to Genesis, first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's something we don't want to forget, that God's in control. He's the one that made everything.
Amen.
In the second chapter of Genesis, and the Lord God, 18th verse, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them upon him, Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs, closed it in the place, and stood thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall even to his wife, and they shall be one place." We don't want to forget that God says here that God made everything out of the ground except woman. And we don't want to forget that it is man and woman when it comes into marriage. And in 117 Psalms, it's something we should do. And oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. My wife and I started in September the 3rd, 1950, together, and now we have a family that is a little bigger than the two of us. And we started out and had three kids, two boys and one girl. And then we had 13 grandchildren. Now we've got 27 great-grandchildren. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord that we have several of them that's in the ministry. And also, I thank the Lord that we've not had any deaths in the family, separations or anything of that nature. Thank the Lord that all of them are in church. And I pray, Lord, it will continue that way. And thank you now for the days we've got left. And thank you for Jesus.
Well, I didn't know there were so many people here. If I get too nervous, it might take me an hour. But I guess I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My dad was an alcoholic, and he used to come home drunk and beat my mom. So I left home when I was 17. I went traveling over the United States selling magazines. But I lied a lot and told people I was doing this and I was going to go to Moody Bible Institute when I was out in this area. And you could almost get 10 bucks out of anybody for a magazine. And of course, I was going to Williams Trade School in Philadelphia when I was around that area. The good Lord, though, over these years kept after me, but I didn't pay attention. After I did the magazine thing, I went in the Army for 7 years, and that's how I met my wife, going home with her cousin one weekend. And she came down to his house, and I knew as soon as I saw her, she was for me. She had a white blouse on, black pants, had her hair rolled up in pin curls, and a rag around it, you know, like the girls did back in those days. But I went home every weekend I could with him. So we've been married 53 years now. And we had two children, and I thank the Lord for them, and I thank the Lord for entrusting my wife to me to be able to take care of her and cherish her and love her till we death do us part. And I intend to do that. And we had two children, but our son died December last year. He was only 48. I still don't know what the good Lord is talking, but I guess one of these days I will. But like I say, I do worldly things all the time. The good Lord, He worked in a mysterious way. He had me in these. I had three jobs, and then we moved down here and we opened up a restaurant. And I'm Mara. And I thank Brother Abel for coming in there. He'd come in, him and his wife and family, they'd come in and eat supper, breakfast, whatever. He'd keep asking me about coming to church, but we had that place open 7 days a week. And we didn't close very early on Sundays, so I guess good Lord, he took over and he had the business drop off on Sunday afternoon. So I've been telling my wife we need to find a church to go to or something, you know, somewhere around here. I didn't know where, and Brother Abel kept coming in. So then we shut down early on Sunday evenings so we could be here in time to go to church. So then Pastor Ross and Pastor Jerry, after two or three times coming, I told my wife, we both thought that this was the place for us because they taught the Bible and they told you like it was. They didn't care whether you liked it or not. But you can't dispute the Word of God when it's right there in front of you. And I'm thankful for them and the church family here. And I told Pastor Jerry a few times, I had a baptismal paper showing where I was baptized in 1956 or 57. But I couldn't remember, and every time he would preach, he said, there's somewhere along that line you should know when you were saved and all this. That bothered me for two or three years because I didn't know for sure. I didn't know the date. And one morning I was my hands and knees praying, and all at once, I guess God just took over, and I went through the thing about Jesus dying on the cross for me and accepting Him as my Savior, and said a prayer, and of course I was crying, and I praying at the same time, and after I get through, that was in March 5th of this year, 2012, and I was baptized. The 10th. And that was one of the happiest days. I was so happy that Jesus, He came into my heart, you know, and I know He had control of me then. Because otherwise, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd probably find some place. I'm just thankful for everything that He does for me. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for Pastor Jerry and his family. I guess I don't have nothing else to say. It didn't take me an hour.
Thank you.
That was good. That was good. I knew this would happen. Well, this will be used tonight. Pastor called me today and asked me if I could get up here and give my testimony. He said, something you're thankful for. Well, my list is this long. But I was a preacher's kid all my life. And we always had Bible stories read to us. And we had different, you know, we always had family devotions and things. And during that time, I was told that I made a public profession, or a profession of Christ. I don't remember that. I didn't remember that.
I just was told that. We had a preacher, and Terry, you can help me his name. No, she got saved. Terry got saved. What was his name? He was old.
Was it Brother Pruitt?
Yes, his brother Pruitt, while he was here. Terry got saved. And we got talking about that one night, and he told us that either you think you're saved or you need to know you're saved. He said sometimes you'll have a head salvation, but you need to have the heart. And, you know, I really thought about that. He said, I'm not trying to confuse you, but he said, if you have never done what the Bible says, he said, then you probably aren't saved. And that convicted my heart so bad that night I got saved. And I felt a load off me. I felt a load. It was gone. And I thank the Lord that He gave me a good family. He gave me a good wife. And we've been through a lot, about 35 years now. But He gave me three fine children. I just don't know why I get so emotional the older I get. I'm sorry. Still got this here too. But he gave me three fine children, and the boys got married. They had fine children, grandkids. But what I'm trying to get at is when I got married, had a father-in-law, and he was driving a bus. And we started riding with him right away. And then Tina had a wild idea about going to college. She visited him, and he asked me if I would go with him on visitation. And I looked at him. That's my Saturday, I said. I said, I'll go until you find somebody. We looked. 15 years later, he saw me out door to door knocking for buses. And he just drove by and said, I'm still looking. The bus ministry is in me. We ought to feel proud, or thankful, I should say, when we look out in that lot and see those buses. Every one of them. And you know, I'm thankful for my bus people. I'm going to ask them to do something. Everybody that rides my bus, stand up. Everybody that helps me, helpers, come on. Everybody. You know, these are what helps the bus go. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. This helps the bus go. The treats help the bus go. And that man right over there, because I lost my health, I can't drive anymore. So I slid from the driver's seat to the passenger seat. I still go. My brother Jack now is our driver. I thank the Lord for that. You know, and I'll tell you, I guess one thing I'll never forget is what some little boy talked to Bo and said, asked him, said, are you Jesus? That just blew my mind. That somebody would say, are you Jesus? I probably have messed up. I don't write stuff down because I forget. But I do remember some things. And I'm going to read you my life verse. So when I die, you can read this verse, okay? It's found in Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace.
Come on.
The throne of grace. Hey. These glasses aren't the right ones, but they'll work.
that said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may... That we may attain mercy and find grace in the time of need.
Glory.
He's always there.
Amen.
Anytime I get a little discouraged, I go open this thing. And I got memorized, but my mind right now is not the best. But I'm thankful. We went on vacation, and every time we go on vacation, we find the church got buses. There is no bus fleet that I've ever seen look as good as this. God is good. He's given us good buses. He's given us good workers. I thank for our mechanic right there, our driver. I've seen Brother Jack laying out here in the snow, making sure that bus is ready to run Sunday morning. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes you don't see. And I thank Pastor Jerry for letting us run. I'm sorry. But the pastor will allow us to run those buses even when gas is expensive as it is. There's still boys and girls out there. So, I just thank you very much. I'm sorry I fell apart.
Thanks. That was good. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, the first thing I'm thankful for, no offering tonight. I have made a commitment to clean out my wallet tonight and give everything, but it wasn't God's will. Okay, Pastor asked me to give testimony, and I wanted to think of one specific thing this last year to give God the glory for, one of many things, and some great events have taken place in my life this year from decisions I've made, the private ones, and I'm very thankful for them. A week from tomorrow will be 2 years since Connie died. And that was, other than getting saved, that was the most precious thing that happened in my life, because it was through her that I came to Christ and accepted the Lord. But this year, as you know, I preach in churches all across the country and do the estate planning seminars. And this year I was in Bellevue, Nebraska. And I had done the seminar and was meeting with people. And Proverbs 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall direct thy paths. And something happened that day that all I could say was, thank you, Lord, for just letting me be in the right place at the right time. What happened? A guy come in during the afternoon. No people were there except the ones I was meeting with. As we finished, he was trying to look for a handout and wanted something. And I opened my wallet. I said, well, I can at least buy you a meal. And I gave him $20. And then I began to witness to him. And he accepted the Lord. I hope he meant it. That's between him and the Lord now. But the Lord allowed that instance right then to prepare my heart for the next people that were coming in. You know, most of the people I deal with are already Christian people. And an elderly couple came in, and she told me he had not been to church during my seminar. So I explained everything to them and went through all the stuff and got the bottom line. And because she told me he hadn't come, and because I just talked to that other guy about the Lord, my heart was prepared to confront him about accepting the Lord. And he did. 80-some years old. And he did. And I didn't know any of the background to him. But when I talked to the pastor about it, he said, praise the Lord. The church had been praying for him for years and years. And he would come for special occasions, but just never did. But as I went through, and I always use your illustration of the timeline. Every time I preach now, I think we can tell how many people get right with the Lord and make sure of their salvation, knowing a day and a time. You don't have to remember who you talked to, but you need to know that event happened in your life. And so I was going through that, and I explained that to him, and I said, "Isn't it about time you get saved?" And he said, "Yeah, I think it is." And so Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths." Many times when people come and see me like that and tell me that one spouse hadn't been to church, it never presented itself for it. But God had the perfect time and the opening, and it was his time. And I was thankful to be there. But a lot of framework had been laid before I ever got there. I just happened to be the one that day. Thank you.
I'm thankful to be next to last because I don't have much time. I'm thankful for my salvation. And Pastor Jerry has said many times that next to the biggest decision you'll ever make is who you marry. And I married right, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for a good wife. And she's been faithful to me for 41 years. And we had a real short romance. I can't give advice on that because it was so short. But the romance is still there. I'd like to thank the Lord for the faithful people we got here at Blessed Hope, and how I can see them going through trials and health issues in their life and still praising God. That's one of the things that I'm thankful for. most of you know that this past year has been kind of a trial in my life too, because I began working at a farm in 1962, the only place I ever worked. And the 29th of November, I was terminated for no reason that was ever given to me, at least. And I'm just thankful that I have a good job now. I was 63 years old when I was terminated from the only job I ever had. And I had 5 job offers. Some of them even came to my house to offer me a job. And I just want to praise the Lord that I have a job. And when we had I have a hard time. I read my Bible every morning and pray every morning, but the devil usually snatches that away from me. A lot of times, even before I get up from my knees after I pray, and I use a little devotional book sometimes, and it helps me because it gives some illustrations. It seems like I can remember those illustrations a little bit better than I can remember some of the things when I read in the Bible. And for some reason, I read this one right after the day I got terminated, even though I got the wrong date. You know, the dates on there are there, but for some reason I opened it and got the wrong date. And I just want to share with you what that devotion said, or part of it anyway. It says, the verse that says, "We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And that verse really doesn't apply to the part of the devotion I got out of this devotion. But anyway, it says, "When John Ruskin was asked, 'What is mud?' he replied, 'First of all, mud is clay and sand and usually soot and a little water. When God takes it into hand, he transforms the clay into a sapphire, for a sapphire is just that.
and the sand into an opal, for that is the analysis of an opal, and soot into a diamond, for a diamond is just carbon, which God has transformed, and the soiled water into bright snow crystals, for that is what they are when God takes up the water up into the clouds and sends them back again. We've seen a lot of mudslinging it, even at the election time, and we, most of us, aren't too happy with the way it went, but God's still in control. God's in control, and one of my favorite verses, probably because I'm a farmer, is, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Well, I want to first say, Pastor Ross, thank you for your commitment and willingness to serve the Lord. And I want to thank the Lord because I believe Pastor Ross is committed, and I appreciate him, and I love him, he and his wife and their family. And, you know, I got to say praise the Lord for his father, too, Pastor Robert Ross. When my wife and I came here, he was a pastor here, of course, and I really loved him too. I appreciated him, but I love Pastor Ross here too. And, glad, thankful to, that the Lord brought us here. I remember one time I needed some work done on a utility trailer, and Brother Jack was working on the wiring for it, and we had just started going here. And anyway, Brother Jack and I think Brother Chad worked on that one evening over at Lyre Farms. And I remember Brother Jack asking me after he got finished working on that trailer for me. I said, "Brother Jack, can I pay you something?" And he said, "No." He said, "Just be faithful. Come into Blessed Hope." And I told him, I said, "Brother Jack, I don't have a problem with that." Anyway, I'm thankful for God just reaching down in my heart a few years ago and helping me to see that I needed to be saved. I don't ever want to take salvation for granted. And thankful for my wife and Anna. And I praise the Lord that how Anna's, she's just progressing on the piano. I praise the Lord for that. And then, too, I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to be able to go down to the nursing home at Lyons. This last week, we were down there, and, well, I'll tell you, Pastor Ross, I think the lesson I did was on Matthew chapter 27, where the crucifixion of the cross, or the crucifixion of our Savior. And I just want to thank the Lord for that, because that helped me to get another glimpse of my Savior there on the cross. That really touched my heart. And then I want to say, too, Pastor Ross, I just praise the Lord for your preaching, because it's convicting. It's convicting. And I praise the Lord for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I got to praise the Lord for most of all, is for His convicting power. And here, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, the Lord really spoke to my heart and pointed out some things that I needed to really focus on. And I went away from here really under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's been working on my heart for. And I praise the Lord for that, because I think that's where we're supposed to be. If we're not convicted of anything, how are we going to know if we're ever wrong? Which I know we are. and everybody else does too. You know what you do wrong, don't you? Anyway, I want to praise the Lord for that and thank Him for this church. Thank Him for everyone here. I appreciate being a part of this church. And one other thing that I want to praise the Lord for, and that's His for His provision for us this year. Because I've not worked much this year, but God's provided everything that we needed. So I just want to praise Him for that and thank you.
All the men that regularly attend here, just stand. All of the men that regularly attend here, would you stand? I want to say this to all of you. I am honored to serve here with you. And I mean that. Obviously, we didn't have time tonight to have everybody speak. And I just ask the Lord to guide me. Please don't be upset if you didn't get asked. If you're upset, then that's probably why God didn't want me to ask you. You probably got some pride problems you need to work on, but I mean that with the depths of my heart. I think one of the greatest honors of my life is to serve with the men of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My heart was touched. I'm sorry that these folks went long. If it had been me, we'd have been out of here on time. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have a reputation. I got a reputation. Let me have everybody join these in standing. We're going to sing the chorus, God is so good, and we'll be dismissed. Ready? God is so good. God is so good. Think about it now. Think about it. God is so good. He's so good to me. Now let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Lord, you've been so good to us. Well, my heart was stirred in so many ways, so many directions tonight. And Lord, I think all of us heard a number of things that helped all of us. So thank you for what you've laid on the hearts of these men, these fine testimonies. And every one of them seems like you gave them something unique to just lift you up about and praise you about. And Lord, we wanted that to be the case tonight. We just want for you to know that we're thankful. And we know, Lord, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And Lord, as we dismiss from this place and go our separate ways, Lord, I pray for safety. There's no doubt some folks are still having family traveling in. I know that's the case with us too. And then also, Lord, some of our folks will be traveling out and about. Please give everyone safety. But remind us often tomorrow, God, may we stop and just take those moments. And even in the midst of the busyness and the fun and the laughter and the memories, that we would just stop from time to time and look around and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us. And Lord, thank you for this service tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.